Kuatan! Sí. ¿Están pasando bien?
¿Están? No la escucho.
Yo no oigo nada, tú cuéntate. ¿Están pasando bien?
¡Viene con mi copia!
¿Están pompeados por el invitado que viene por ahí, que está allí ya? Ya lo hablamos con él.
¿Qué está escuchando?
Bueno, nos está escuchando y está tan ¡viene! ¡Viene! ¡Hype! ¿Cuántos lightsabers hay allá afuera? Préndalo todo. Quiero verlos todos prendidos. Todos prendidos los lightsabers. Ok.
Bien.
Quiero que él vea los lightsabers cuando entre por ahí, ¿ok? Mi nombre es Pete Valle. Estoy aquí con...
¡Pocky Valle! ¡Hola!
Y yo soy el Watcher.
Eso. Nosotros somos anfitriones del Geek & Pot, el podcast oficial de Puerto Rico Comic Con. Y parte de las cosas horribles que nos tocan hacer.
¡Horrible!
¡Espectaculares!
Soy los anfitriones de los Q&A de Comic Con. En este Q&A vamos a estar Watcher y yo aquí al frente con Cameron. Y Punky va a estar ahí en el medio para que le hagan preguntas a Cameron. Porque vaya donde Punky, atrévanse a hacerle preguntas. Es una experiencia brutal. ¿Qué más puedo decir?
Aquí estamos esperando, así que algo muy importante. Así que, sin más preámbulo, un fuerte aplauso para Cameron Morgan.
Thank you very much.
Muchas
gracias.
How's it been?
It's good. Yeah, muy bien. ¿Cómo estás?
Oh, muy bien.
Are you having fun in the Comic Con here?
So far, so good. Yeah, the people have been very nice. It's been fun. It's been beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
I have a question because all the 1,000 fans going through the air because I need to jump in. Being Star Wars, Disney, you know, family friendly. I want to ask about Chambliss. Sure. So, are you still being part of this beautiful family dynamic? Beautiful, intense, right? How was your process about becoming Ian and doing all those years of that amazing work?
It was a long period of my life. It's 11 years, so it's hard to wrap that up into any sort of like single statement, really. When I first started that show, I was 15 years old, 15 about to turn 16, and when I finished it up, I was 28. So that's a long period of my life, you know, but to be able to grow and learn and develop relationships, not only with that cast, but with the entire crew as well, it was a very special thing.
And you did amazing.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Obviously, most people here know you from Star Wars, right? Fallen Order, which it's an amazing game. Were you a fan before?
I was definitely a big fan of Star Wars growing up, and that was like one of the main things that we used to play on the playground when I was a kid.
Like all of us running around the...
Yeah, of course, pick up a stick, yeah. You know, someone loses an eye, or, you know. I think I used to pretend to be more like Darth Vader when I was a kid. Yeah, I think so. But it was cool because, you know, I got to fight Darth Vader, so that was cool. Well, run away from Darth Vader. I think that that's very cool that you play it as a kid and then you get to kind of play in that world for a living as an adult. So that's a very special thing.
Would you like to play the character in live action?
It depends on if it made sense for the character and if it was... you know, a good use of the role, really. I don't have any plans to do it if it's just to do it. You know what I mean?
We need to protect that dynasty, that history, right? You know, that loving history. So, yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah, and I also just think that it's important with any story to make sure that you're actually telling a story and developing a character, so that's always kind of the priority with me.
Yeah, of course. Se puede ir parando para hacer preguntas, por favor, como mencionamos, donde está Punky, una buena filita, y uno nos podría pasar con las preguntas. Sí, enseguida.
So, hi Cameron, my name is Christian.
Hello.
My question for you is, how did it felt the first day stepping in as Cal Kestis?
The first day? I don't know. I mean, I think the first day, I'd never really worked in like performance capture, like motion capture before. So that was kind of interesting because there's a lot of like different things that you have to do on a motion capture shoot. You have to wear a suit. And you have to wear this like strange suit that is like made out of like Velcro and stretchy spandex, and it's very kind of vulnerable when you first put that on because there's not a lot of hiding in that thing. And they have to like calibrate it. So you have to like do all these weird movements where you're like lifting your arms and making movements and bending over and lifting up your legs. And then you have to do this thing with your face where you do all the different possible expressions that your face can make and say all these nonsense words and sentences. And then you actually get started for the day. So so much of it was just kind of getting used to what that environment was. And then with any role as an actor, you have to forget about that and actually start paying attention to the character and the job at hand. So yeah, I don't know. The first day was definitely like getting your sea legs where you're, you know, it's kind of still on your training wheels and just figuring it out. But now it's been a number of years of doing it, so it's a little bit less weird for me.
When you do motion capture like that, when you say your lines, are they recorded, and are those the lines that are used for the game, or do you have to re-record those lines again?
Oh no, that's all. What you see in the game is the performance that we shoot on a day.
Okay.
It's essentially like pointing a camera at somebody, except in a motion capture studio, you're surrounded by like 80 or 100 mm-hmm. different cameras, but it's the same process as cool. You know, anything else.
Thank you.
Hello, Cameron. Forgive me. This is going to be a little lengthy questionnaire. But my name is Lisette.
Questionnaire?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't have all that.
It's the IRS. They finally found me.
Well, first of all, welcome to Puerto Rico. And
thank you very much.
I just want to say it's so interesting because not too long ago, I just met up with Ethan and some friends at a Bomba event. So to see you,
cool.
This is very exciting.
Right on.
And I wanted to take the opportunity to just ask you, you know, me being part of a gender fluid gay community, your character as Ian Gallagher resonated with me the most. And there was an episode in season 8 in which you had to stand up to the community as gay Jesus. And now that we're here in the season, you know, to honor our king, what would you say you got out of that episode, or specifically playing that character at that moment?
I mean, yeah, it was interesting, you know. I'm not a writer. I was never a writer on the show. But we had a pretty big LGBT plus contingent in the writer's room. I would say that over half the writers were, gay or you know, somewhere on the spectrum. And there was a lot of consideration, and there was a lot of stuff that was specifically cracking them up and jokes that they were putting in, for representation in their community, which I really appreciated. And it was fun to be able to explore that and kind of be, at the forefront of having that conversation. I think that, you know, by season 8, there was a lot of media on TV or streaming that was tackling it, but when we first started the show, there was less representation, and it felt a little bit more edgy in that way, and so over the course of the show, we had to kind of go further and further, I think, to kind of keep pushing in new or unexplored territory. But that was definitely a very out there storyline, but one that, you know, it was fun. And so many of the people who were kind of in that group who were, supporting actors or background actors for like that church or that episode specifically were like LGBT teens who had grown up watching the show and were very excited to come on and be a part of that. So I thought that was really cool. So yeah, it was fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, camera. My name is Anna Marius. It's great to meet you, man. I love Cal Kestis.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
So basically, dude on the right took my question.
My right.
I just wanted to know if there's any possibility we're going to see Cal Kestis on the big screen, either live action or animation with Clone Wars Rebels, something like that.
I don't know, man. I think you might have to take that question straight to Lucasfilm.
Would you do it, though?
I think it's just about whether it's right or not. It has to, you know, I think that if it is a good opportunity and it makes sense, then sure. But
I do hope we get to see it.
Thank you very much.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
Great meeting you.
Thank you. Hey, Cameron. My name's Gabriel. So before I knew you from Cal Kestis, I saw you in Gotham. Yes. Jerome.
Yes.
That was awesome. That's my guy. But my question really has to do, because you go from this psychotic character in Jerome to do Cal Kestis. So which character, and it was a great, like both performances are great. Which of those two characters do you think people are going to mostly remember you by? Jerome or Cal Kestis? They're both great, by the way. I love them both.
Do you think that Jerome was psychotic? I thought he was a really normal, well-adjusted guy. What was that normal about what he was doing?
Chill guy. Yeah,
he was very, he was cool. He was like, he was a nice guy, I would say. Yeah, very friendly.
Very friendly.
Well-adjusted.
I don't know, man. I don't think you can really be concerned with like what you're going to be remembered by, or I don't know. I think that all things are temporary and we're all gonna die one day. So I don't know. Is that the answer that I'm landing here? Nothing matters. We're all gonna die. All right. Have a good night, everybody. Have a good night. I appreciated being able to do that. I thought that was it was an honor. So I appreciate it. Thank you for liking it.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Leon. I just have a quick question. I've been playing D&D and different things regarding acting and voice acting. And as an aspiring voice actor, you kind of like made me see different ways that you can perform a character and different roles, and I've been very inspired by your performances. And I was curious to know, like, what would you say to new voice actors and actors that come into the future? What would you recommend to them?
I mean, I think that with specifically with voice, technique is really important and something that you should keep trying to learn and craft. It's ultimately your voice is an instrument, and instruments are limitless by nature. There's always more to learn and more to hone and more to craft. And I wouldn't really necessarily consider myself a voice actor ultimately. There's a lot of really, really, really incredible voice actors who are capable of doing things that are, to me, almost unfathomable with voice, who I very much admire. I would say continue learning your technique and work on new things, and also listen and pay attention to other people. That can be something as simple as when you're sitting on, like, a bus or walking down the street or something, and you hear somebody with an interesting way of speaking or expressing, taking note of that and trying to replicate that on your own time. I wouldn't necessarily do it to their face. People don't always love if you're imitating them, unless you're really good at it, in which case sometimes people find it flattering. But I don't know, just keep working on it. And
why are you staring at me?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
My name's Veronica. I have a very short and simple question. Did you get to keep the poncho?
Oh, really good question.
Well, they're mostly virtual. So, yes. No, I have a few ponchos in my collection. Yeah, but I'm always looking for more if you're offering.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Nadia Diaz. I have a good question. Since you've been interpreted as Cal and in big screens like The Joker, a good question is there like a chance that, fun fact, you actually been like an Easter egg in one of the TV series from Ahsoka. Is there a chance that you will possibly be in another video game with maybe the same action or just in big screens in general?
Would I be in another like video game, meaning like not like Star Wars, just like another video game in general?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm not sure. It was never really a goal of mine necessarily. Like I grew up playing games and I like games a lot and I think they're a really cool storytelling medium. But I also think it's kind of cool like to maybe only work on like one series and have like a really cool one thing that you do, and then that's kind of like a mic drop in a way, isn't it? So it's kind of cool. So I don't know if I'll ever do another one. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, camera. My name is Carlos Rodriguez from Habla Gamer.
Nice gorilla shirt, man.
Yes.
Yeah, representing.
Thank you. Since you play Cal Kestis in a video game, and we will possibly see you the transition to film, how much freedom do you have for the character, or what do you contribute to his development? And also, what do you think of Cal Kestis embracing the dark side on the second game?
Yeah, so it's interesting because it's like we have a really great team of writers on the Jedi games. That being said, I think that as an actor, you're kind of advocating for your character, and you spend a lot of time understanding who they are and where they're coming from, and so you have to learn how to protect them and make sure that what is being said or done makes sense situationally for them. Obviously, you take what's being written and you try to work out a reason or justification for why that's happening. But if you don't see a justification, or if you see a better way that that could be handled, then that's a conversation that probably needs to be had. When we were working on the first, we developed like a rapport and ability to be able to communicate that pretty early on in the process. And thankfully, that team, especially our head writers, Danny and Aaron, were really open to kind of conversation and feedback. And we would always have rehearsals before we would actually go and shoot it. We'd have rehearsals the day before, and then the next day, if writing needed to be done, we could rewrite and then come back the next day and shoot it. So there was a number of times where we would do that, and I wouldn't be able to tell you line by line who did what and when, but because it's more of it's more fluid than that. It's kind of a conversation. Towards the end of the first game, we started talking about what we would want to do with the second and where we would want to see the character go. And a lot of those conversations did end up going towards the second game and what we ultimately did. But sometimes you're surprised by something and you might not necessarily know where that came from or why it's that way. But when you think about it for a while, you go, actually, that's great. And sometimes you want to be surprised or taken to places that are not as familiar. You have to push yourself outside of your comfort zone as well. So, I don't know. I don't think that you can have like a clear way of saying, oh, I contributed X percentage of this, really. But thankfully, they're always very open to having a conversation about it.
Thank you. And the other one, what do you think of Cold Cases embracing the dark side of the video game?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's too early to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Cameron. My name is Alina, and I'm nervous. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So, coming from such a like smaller type of fandom, like Shameless, and then just getting thrown into this big, already stabilized fandom that is Star Wars, were you scared? Because I'm scared of Star Wars fans, and I've been a Star Wars fan for 10 years.
I don't think scared would be the right way to describe it. I think that cautiously optimistic, generally, with most things that you approach. If there's no sort of, you know, intimidation, then you have to ask why you're doing something. You know, again, it's that thing of you don't want to be in your comfort zone all the time, and I would say that with any role, and I don't really particularly care about whether it's a franchise or not. Some of the most challenging roles are ones that are, you know, not based off of anything or have an existing fan base. But really, ultimately, the way that I approach it as an actor is I care the most about the character and the story itself. And I felt like there was a story to tell, and there was a unique angle to that story that I had not quite seen before. So that was what I thought was cool about it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Even though I'm at a huge slide. Hi. So first of all, thank you for the Shameless team for representing Gay Gingers, because I can relate. And I'm sorry for the fans of Heath Ledger's performance and, you know, the iconic Jack Nicholson. We have Joaquin Phoenix now, but what inspired you to give your own touch to Jerome and the dual role? So to you who don't know, later on in the show, to give that performance and your own touch to the Joker, because it was kind of cultish, so it was fun.
What inspired me?
Given all the performances that we have already of the Joker.
Right. I think that ultimately, like, I grew up watching those performances, like anybody who likes comics and film, you know, what he did with that role was truly incredible, and it was kind of a paradigm shift of performances of villains in films, and in not just comic book films, but just film in general. It was monumental, and I think that Jack Nicholson before then was similar. But I think that it would be a error to try to directly replicate the performance of another actor. Ultimately, your performance needs to be dictated by the story that is being told in and of itself in the context of that story. And the tone of Gotham was very specific. And so we had to modulate that performance in a way that was fitting for that tone, which was outlandish and silly, but sometimes disturbing, sometimes funny, sometimes strange. It was those things. And then learning how to chew the scenery, but also remain within the bounds of that world. So there was, you know, suspension of disbelief, but it wasn't so far that it would ultimately break your ability to be able to watch it. So that was always a tricky balance to find with that character. So I don't know if I really answered your question, but I appreciate it anyway.
You did. You're good.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, Cameron. My name is Diego. I just wanted to know real quick, what was the toughest role that you've had to perform, or how you see it, the peak of your performance as an actor?
To be honest, the toughest roles were probably ones that had very little to do with the roles themselves, but you know, not every set goes smoothly, and sometimes you have challenges filming things that are just kind of beyond any sort of expectations. I one time shot a film that I was hired 2 days prior to filming it, and you know, I had 120 pages of stuff to prepare, and there was also a major worldwide pandemic happening simultaneously, and there were issues with the crew and budget and all these things that are just sort of beyond what you can really predict or control. And that those kinds of shoots are really tough because actors are very front-facing, and people will ultimately kind of put it on the actors and say, oh, well, they're bad, and that's a bad thing. And it's tough sometimes because you're like, well, if anyone knew what this environment was like, they would go, I'm surprised the movie was even able to be made. Which also doesn't, like, you have to always do your best effort and try your hardest and do that sincerely. But I would say that, honestly, roles that might seem challenging from the outside are sometimes very fun. And if a set is run well, it gives room or space for the actors to be able to play and express. So yeah, I don't know. I think that a lot of times the most challenging roles are the ones that people probably have never heard of, and maybe for a good reason, to be fair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That resonated with you from
Shane's? One scene. Probably when Frank climbed out of the porta potty. he came out of the toilet, and yeah, it just really moved me. It was a very emotional moment for me. Very formative, I would say. Yeah, I don't know. Does that work? Cool, thank you.
Hello there, Cameron.
How's it going?
My name is Jaime, and someone actually stole my question, so I'm going to ask. How does it feel being in the very exclusive club of being a Jedi and also a version of the Joker, just like Mark Hamill is a Jedi and also a version of the animated Joker?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good, you know? Mark was the trailblazer for that, for sure. And I very much appreciate that. You know, Mark also talked about, like, really talented voice actors. Mark is a serious talent. And, you know, he has roles on things that you wouldn't even necessarily expect. Like, what he did in Avatar, for example, was amazing. You know, so, yeah. I mean, I guess all I can say is, like, it's an honor. It's really cool. And, yeah. Who knows?
It's a two-person club. I just realized that. It's just you and Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I guess
that's
so.
Awesome.
As of right now, yeah, I guess so.
Let's keep it exclusive and love your work, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Cameron. I just wanted to say that I loved your character in Gotham, and I think you are an amazing actor.
Thank you.
My question is, if you were to play a villain in a role in the future, which villain from the Marvel or DC universe would you like to play?
Gosh. Do I have to play a villain? I don't know. I don't know. Because the problem is that so many have already been played before, and so right now, if I said someone, that they would be associated with someone else, you know. Who hasn't? I mean, there's never been a great adaptation of Doctor Doom, to be fair.
That's
right.
Yes.
Which I think would be, you know, that could be kind of cool. Brainiac would be kind of cool. Yeah, I think I would like to do something, you know, there's also something kind of interesting about roles that you're not necessarily, your face is not necessarily on screen, like a Doctor Doom or Brainiac, which I think is kind of cool. Green Goblin when he's behind the mask, you know. Yeah, I don't know, maybe something like that.
Thank you.
That's it.
People.
My question is, you played a bipolar queer character in Shameless. How did that role take, you know, affected you personally, and how did you manage to, you know, realize what's fake and what's reality from it?
Well, I mean, you have to have some sort of separation between fiction and reality in your life, and you know, I don't want to get into the different methods of method acting and how to approach that, because I think everyone will be asleep after I speak for the next few hours. But you know, I think that it was really great to be able to play something that was a kind of unique perspective and humanizing of those issues that, you know, I think that even now talking about mental health and mental illness is still pretty stigmatized and kind of difficult, and something that I think a lot of people feel shame about, which they shouldn't, because it's just, it's medical, like anything else, and we're all made different ways, and I don't think that there's any problem with wanting to get help, you know, and I guess that was something that was nice about the storytelling with the Ian role, was there was continuing. Life carried on, and we got to see him go through different things and different challenges, and sometimes those challenges were pretty to look at, but sometimes they were, you know, meaningful, and we got to understand and empathize. So I think that was, yeah, that was really great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias. Hey, Carl. Bunker. My question was already partially answered, because I wanted to ask if Carl would be again tempted by the dark side. But besides that, I wanted to have a little bit of your insight in what could be Bode's, like, ultimate objective in infiltrating the Mantis group, because I feel that wasn't explored much in the second game, so I was curious about that.
I mean, I think that's more of a question for Noshir, who played Bode, than it is for me, really. I wouldn't want to be able to speak on another actor's character or their motivation, ultimately. I wouldn't want to speak for somebody else.
Hello, Cameron.
Hello.
Fellow Grey Jedi here. My question is, since we know Cal Kestis is kind of a outsider, and he's not like a Jedi or Sith, he's like in the middle, following that path, which character of the Star Wars universe Cal Kestis to encounter, and why is it Ahsoka Tano?
I think Cal is pretty squarely a Jedi. I don't think he's, I kind of disagree with that assessment, I have to say. You said we all know, but I don't think we all do, to be fair. But that's okay if that's how you feel, but I think that one of the interesting things about what we've done with the stories is that there's nuance to people. And when you live your life by one sort of like credo or restriction, that becomes very restrictive and can become an issue. And I think that within the story of Star Wars, the Jedi were so kind of constricted that it ultimately led to them being deceived and kind of their downfall to a certain degree. And I think that, you know, you can be a good person and also have some moral complications in your life. And if anything, I think that makes you kind of a better person, that you still try to do the right thing even when you have challenges facing you. And I think that was one of the main things we wanted to explore with Cal. So I kind of forget the second part of your question. Sorry.
Which character of the Star Wars universe
would right.
you like Cal Kestis be with, and why with Ahsoka Tano?
Right. Dexter Jester is not an option, because I think that Cal could probably run the diner with Greaves and everybody, and we could just like eat pancakes for like a spinoff possibly. Yeah, so that would be my choice. But Ahsoka would probably eat at that diner too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cal's pancakes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Cal's calzones.
Oh, that's better.
He show up in like a calzones. Did anyone hear a cricket just now? Was that just me? That joke bombed so bad that a cricket came out. Alright, go ahead.
Nice to meet you, Cameron. I wanted to ask, since BD-1 is one of your most comparable companions to the two games of Star Wars, I wanted to ask if you had the option or the chance to pick any other droid to help you in your journey, which one would it be?
I would never cheat on BD with another droid.
Really? That's perfect.
BD is the one droid in my life. That's it, that's it. He's the only droid for me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi. The question, I am going to be a future actor, and I will be in future movies. I will be in Marvel. I have one experience as extra. Also, I want to ask you to a fellow actor, what will be your advice for me or for anyone of actors?
What advice would I have for actors?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you have to find what is truthful for you and find your own voice. But what you have to do is you have to keep learning from other performers, but you can't make the mistake of trying to emulate them. So learn what you admire about them and then try to find how that relates to you on a personal level. I think that's a mistake that a lot of young actors make, is they think, well, I'll just do what Robert De Niro does or something. And it's like, well, no, that's Robert De Niro was who he was because of how he was a authentic representation of him and himself. So I guess that's kind of like an important thing. So I don't know, I guess that would be my immediate advice, man. But good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
Gotcha.
Hi, Cameron. My name is Alex. My question for you is, you know, in the second game of Jedi Survivor, we had a special guest at the end, sort of the game, with side quests of the bounty hunters. I won't get into spoilers or anything, just in case. But besides him, would you like to see any other new... not new, but like already established Star Wars characters into the next game, like a little cameo sort of thing?
I mean, I think, you know, Sam Jackson has the best voice in the world.
Yes.
But I don't know if we would be able to afford him. you know, I do love Nathan Samuel Jackson. I think that, you know, he could read the phone book and I would listen to him. So, yeah, if we could get him in the game, that would be amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Cameron. My name is Marcus, and I'd like to ask, I want to bring it back to the mocap part of specifically the second game. What was your favorite two stances from the game has a two stance thing that you can switch between the two stances. What were your two favorite while shooting the mocap scenes?
Well, things that are in the game are animation. So things that are in the cutscenes, the cinematics, are motion capture. So that was not, that's a team of hundreds of very talented people who are crafting that stuff. So I don't want to take credit for that. That being said, as a person playing it, I very much like the pirate stance with the blaster and the single saber. And yeah, I mean, I like the single saber, just kind of straightforward stance, because I just think that's very classic Star Wars as well.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. He wasn't asking for yours. I'm just kidding. The double side is cool too. It's cool too.
Hey Cameron, my name is Ricardo. I hope you're having a very wonderful day. My question for you is, what do you think makes Cal Kestis a compelling protagonist? And what do you think sets your Jedi game apart from any other Star Wars content?
What makes him a compelling protagonist?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Oh, thank you for thinking he's compelling. Yeah, I think that's, again, kind of going into some of the moral gray area is interesting in Star Wars. You know, while Star Wars is like mythic storytelling, and when it was initially conceived, it was sort of fantastical hero's journey, kind of a binary, more black and white thing. I think it's interesting in a modern world, in a modern context, to kind of recontextualize Cal as a person who has experienced trauma, and that's affected his outlook on life. And I think, you know, there's interesting things that happen when you tell a story over multiple installments, and that you can watch a character continue to develop and change over a story. And that's something that I very much have enjoyed getting a chance to do, is to kind of show Cal's progression as he has experiences, and these experiences change him. And it was always an important part of building the story, was making sure that we keep in mind the experiences of his life and what that might do to how he makes the decisions that he's faced with. I don't remember the second part again, I'm sorry.
What do you think sets apart your Jedi game, so Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor, apart from other Star Wars content?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a critic, so I don't know. I don't know. But, I appreciate that you like them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're running out of time, so I think we have space for just a couple more questions.
Hello, Cameron. My name is Elvis. She's already gone. That was my sister, Lily. Unremovable until now. She is unfamiliar with your work, but she's uncultured, so it's perfectly fine. So, even though I may be blindfolded, perfectly blind, I can sense a very handsome ginger man up on stage. But, however, he is missing one thing. What happened to the poncho?
I left it at home. I'm sorry. But, how old is your sister? How old is Lily? She's 12, and how old are you?
16.
Okay, look out for your little sister, man. Keep, you know, yeah, be a good big brother and take care of her, alright?
That's the plan.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you both.
I was gonna ask about the bone shot too.
Asked and answered, man. Asked and answered.
Okay, if there is a new game, do you think it's gonna be a poncho?
Would you fight for the poncho?
There better be. If there is, otherwise I don't know if there should be a new game. You know, I think I'll be leading the boycott.
Hashtag we need that poncho.
Thank you.
One question more. If Anakin Skywalker and Cal meet, how do you think it's gonna be their meet?
A lot of romantic tension, probably. I've been writing fanfics and submitting them directly to Disney offices.
Thank you.
Hello. My question is, can you give us your favorite quote or line when you were playing Jerome Valeska in Gotham? and do it with his voice if possible.
I genuinely don't remember a line. It's like a thing when I come to like a convention like this, people will ask me to like write down a favorite, and I always prefer people tell me their favorite because I genuinely have trouble remembering them.
Is there a line you like?
Yeah, is there a line you like?
I don't remember the line per se, but it was the Russian roulette with the inmate.
Oh, okay, yeah, the I'm the boss scene.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who's the boss?
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. I don't know. I'll go with that. That works for me. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I think, thank you for your time, Cameron. It's been awesome having you here. And thank you for coming. You guys get everything.